something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. It is January and we're all absolutely broke, which is why we had to get this man on the line. Financial planner Owen McGee, good morning, how are you?
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm broke, how can you help me?
Oh, you know what you need to do? You need to work as many Saturday mornings as you can and just keep the money coming in and then just look after it and learn how to be good with money. And the only way to learn how to be good with money in this day and age is to watch RTEs for the next, well, we've 1 week behind us, but another 7 weeks to go. If you didn't catch up on Thursday night last, every Thursday night at 8:30 on RTE1, we have the TV show How to Be Good with Money. We are back. Series 2.
There's a plug and a half, Owen.
Absolutely. We're back with series. We're bigger. We're better. It was 6 episodes last year. It's 8 episodes this year. We have such a great range of people involved again this year. We all met Mark last Thursday night. You'll get it on the player. I think it actually might be repeated tomorrow afternoon on Sundays, but it was last year anyway. I'm not 100% sure. I should really know that.
You should, yeah.
It'll probably be repeated tomorrow afternoon, but last Thursday we had my Mark. He was a chef living in Waterford. He 24 years of age, or early 20s anyway, and he was in a great position in that he has a house and no mortgage. And he was doing very well with that. But one of the problems Mark had was, as a chef who cooks steak for a living and makes pizzas for a living, he was still very keen on takeaways. And he spent a lot of money on takeaways. And he had some other stuff going on as well. And I was lucky, I caught him just at the right time because he was starting to accumulate debt, personal debt. And we took him on a journey. And if you've seen it, you'll know how it ends. But if you haven't seen it, I won't ruin it on you.
The biggest problem for people though, Owen, and I know you say it's about being good with your money, it's things like rent, especially if you live in any of the big cities around Ireland. The rent will kill you. I mean, all your wages will be gone on that alone.
Yeah, and we would always have a rule, as a financial planning rule would always be, whether it's mortgage or rent, when you start spending more than 35% of your take-home pay on your mortgage or your rent, you really start to build up problems for the future. So, for example, what I mean by 35%, let's keep it really simple. Imagine your take-home pay is €1,000 a month, and that's what you take home. If you're spending more than €350 a month servicing your mortgage or servicing your rent, you'll really start to cause problems. Like I've seen it for years with clients, different clients, and we'd look at this percentage. And what I'd say is that the clients who spend 15% or less of their wage on rent or mortgage, they really, really start to accumulate wealth. They're really on the positive side.
But what can people do about that? Because they can't do anything about the price of rent. Would you be saying you have to kind of, if you're somebody who wants to live alone, you have to accept that you need a roommate or whatever?
Yeah, and that's one of the lessons that we had to give to Mark, was he had a serious asset there, and he had a room that he had rented out to a mate, but he had a second room that was just lying empty, and he really needed to consider the idea of spreading out the assets. And that's just the reality, because if you want to create real wealth, that's what you have to do. It's about the small little things becoming big things, and that's what it was. Like, there are some people still, particularly in Dublin and Cork and Galway, where the rent is very high, there are people out there spending 50-55% of their take-home pay on rent. Like, that is just completely unsustainable. Like, it's a really awful place to be.
The other side of it too is, if you do have a mortgage and you've got a spare room, or you might have a couple, maybe the kids have left home or something, and you are broke, because I mean you can be broke at any age, think about maybe renting out the room for even, you know, to a student 5 days a week, or taking in students during the summertime. They were all the things that I know when I was a teenager, Mam used to take in the students from Spain and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that if you do that correctly and you make sure you tick all the right boxes, we have got one of the episodes coming up, we have got a couple who seriously are considering that, and that's one of the things that we talk through, because you can take €14,000 a year through the rent-a-room scheme tax-free into your house. So you can rent out a room and it can be tax-free, and there's no issue with it. Just make sure you tick the boxes. If it's rented full-time, that's great. If it's rented to Spanish students, or as you call them, like whatever students from Europe, that's fine too. But you can't do Airbnb style stuff. You can't just do it one night or stuff. You can't get that tax-free. That's all taxable.
Right.
That's €14,000. Think about that. You would need to go out and earn €20,000-25,000 a year to be able to come out with €14,000 after tax. It's a really good way of generating income if you can put up with the inconvenience of having someone in your house. And some people love it. Like, some people, particularly when the kids move out, they might consider that it's a bit of a quiet house now, and it's a nice way of earning a few quid, and it can work very well for people. And there's some really good, like really good charities set up. And what they do is they match young people with elderly people, and they put the two of them together, and part of the rent is got to do with the idea that you'd spend maybe an hour an evening just chatting. And yeah, that's real company, and it's really, it's just also security for the elderly person, because they know that there's somebody young in the house if something goes wrong, or something goes on fire, or someone breaks in, or whatever it is. So there's lots of ways that we could be using the assets that we have, because let's face it, the housing crisis is a serious, serious problem. And there are people out there who are in houses on their own with three empty bedrooms in it. And it's not suitable, but it's not very easy to move either. And most people, when they get to that age, they don't want to move out of the area. So we really need to look at things like modifying houses, splitting them in two, making an apartment downstairs and an apartment upstairs, and being able to do that. And the government did have a pilot scheme. After the last budget, they announced the pilot scheme. They were going to put €50,000 into one house and see if they could adjust it and see if it worked. And I'm sure we'll get the results of that now as the election starts coming around and we start to see what's happening. But there is talk of that happening, that they're going to start looking at giving people money to be able to adjust their houses, modify their houses, so that you can split the title on it, and you can be able to rent out one part of it, not the other part of it.
That's one thing. So you're renting your mortgage. That is an expense that you can't do anything about. You have to pay it. What are the things that we are wasting our money on, do you find, Owen?
The simple thing is, first of all, let me say, sometimes people say financial planners are all about, let's cut out the coffee, right? It's always the one that people go after, right? Let's be realistic about this. If you're out working and you're working hard, you deserve to spend your money on whatever it is you want to spend your money on. But the key to that sentence is, it's what you want to spend your money on. I believe, and I witness, and I see it all the time, people spending their money not on what they want to spend it on, but what some clever marketing department somewhere has made them spend their money on. And what I mean by that is we are so receptive to advertising, even walking into shops, the smells, the sounds, everything else that goes on around you. Like, do you ever walk into the shop for milk and come out with just milk? And the reason why you came out with more than milk was because you unconsciously, a marketing department got into your head and you walked out with all the other stuff because the shop layout was set up for it. The milk was at the back of the shop, the smell in the of the bakery as you walked in, the slow music because the shop was really quiet. And what I would always say is if you're spending your money on what you want to spend it on, great, but are you spending on what you want to spend it on? And the one simple little trick you can do is for the next week, write down everything you spend your money on. And I mean, take out your phone after you spend it on it, write it down, and at the end, don't change your spending habits, but at the end of the week, have a look back over the previous week and say, if I was planning next week, is this exactly how I want to spend my money? You're entitled to spend your money on whatever you want to do it, but be conscious about it, be clever about it, and be aware of where your money is going.
Yeah.
Most people, when they look at it, will say, oh God, I wouldn't have spent all that money on coffee if I had realised this. I like my coffee, but I don't need the fifth one of the day. I only need the first and the third and the seventh one. That's all.
Do you know, they're only talking in the office the other day about the fright they all got when they got their statement from Freenow, you know, the taxis.
Yes.
And the amount of taxis that they would have gotten over Christmas. And they're like, how did I spend that much on taxis? Because you don't realise it every time when you just, you know, use your card to tap or whatever. It doesn't really register as being real money.
Well, you know what, the tapping thing is really interesting. There was a fast food restaurant in the States. They're all over the world, and you can guess very quickly who they are. They're the biggest fast food restaurant that would come into your head straight away. But they looked at, introduced and contactless at the till. And they observed the client or the restaurateur, the restaurant attendant, what you call them, customers. That's what we call them, customers.
Customers.
Stop being trying to be so snobby, Owen. They're not restaurateurs, they're customers, whatever they are, right? What they did was they watched people at the till. And as people walked up to the till, they had inserted all the contactless machines. And they looked at people who paid in cash and people who tapped their card. People who tapped their card spent 10 to 15% more than the people who paid in cash.
Yeah, because you throw on the ice cream or the apple pie or whatever it might be. Yeah,
exactly. So when you walk up with a tenner in your pocket, you get to the counter and they say, do you want to go large? Yeah. Do you want ice cream? No. Right? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go large? Yeah. Do you want ice cream? Yeah. Because you're just tapping and you're not thinking about the
cash. It only happened to me yesterday when I was buying my lunch. I had literally €5 in coins in my hand and I was saying to the guy in the till, how much is that? How much is that? Because I needed to make sure I had enough with me. I didn't bring my card.
Yep, absolutely. And it does. It makes a serious difference to how we spend our money. It's interesting. There's another little trick. So I would do a thing with transition your students a lot through a separate company that I'm involved in called enough.ie. We go into transition your students and we deliver a program. And one of the things we ask students to think about is I want you to think about the part-time job you have. And I want you to think of money in terms of time. What I mean by that is that if you earn €10 an hour after tax, that means on a Saturday you go into work for 8 hours and you earn €80. Now, the next time you come across a jumper or a pair of runners or whatever it is that costs 80 euros, don't think about the 80 euros that's in your pocket or your bank account or that you're about to swipe the card for. Think about it in terms of, do I want this? And do I want it as much as getting up next Saturday morning at 7:30, having my breakfast, getting to work, spending 8 hours in work, getting home, sitting down, having my dinner, and then being able to have my life? Is this jumper worth 8 hours in work or my Saturday next Saturday? Is this worth what it's worth? Because we have started very, very quickly, and the next generation and the next generation will be worse and worse again, where we're losing the value of actual money. Mm. And the more we tap, the less connection we have to the money we make. So we need to find ways of pulling it back. And one of the ways is think of money in terms of time. Everybody should look at their pay slip, look at the bottom right-hand corner and divide it by the number of hours. So if you're paid by the week, divide it by 40 if you do a 40-hour week. Or let's just keep it very simple, divide it by 160 hours if it's by the month. And just work out what your take-home pay is in a month. The bottom right-hand corner is your take-home pay. Divide it down by how many hours you've worked in that month and figure out what you're being paid on an hourly basis. And then start thinking of money in terms of time, because it's a great way of connecting back to how we spend our money.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a spender, Owen, yourself?
Ah, yeah. Of course I am.
Are you stingy?
No, I'm not.
Do you disappear to the loo when it's you're around in the pub?
No, I definitely don't. No, I'm actually. Well, you see, the way I work my money is it's rocks and sand stuff. So what I do is at the start of the month, I have money allocated to savings and pensions and mortgages and all of that stuff that I need to cover, and they're all covered, and whatever's left in my account is for me to spend on whatever I want.
Okay.
And it's guilt-free and it makes sense, but I do it safe in the knowledge that everything else is covered off.
So you do all that first, because I think what some people do is they treat themselves first and then they worry about all the outgoings.
Of course they do. Like, that's a serious problem. What we do is, particularly with savings, think about it. You say, okay, I'm going to save. I'm going to start saving for the house or the holiday or whatever it is you're trying to save. And what you say to yourself is, right, I got paid now and I'm going to be really, really good. And at the end of the month, whatever I have left over, I'm going to save that much. Now, think about what you've done there. You restricted yourself for the entire month. You've tried to be good all month. Why not do it the other way? Why not take the savings out at the start of the month and then just spend freely with no restriction on whatever's left over? It's just a different way. Take the money out. They're your rocks. Take your rocks out at the start of the month, not at the end of the month.
What do we like when it comes to planning for the future then? Because people say to me all the time, oh, that's what a financial planner is. It's about planning ahead. And, you know, none of us seem to be doing it because we all think that we're 21 and we're not. Are the Irish brutal at planning for the future?
Awful, yeah. That's why I have a job. To be honest with you, like the stuff that we've just spoken about for the last 10 minutes and everything else, stuff I have serious interest. I've done a lot of application with it. But my private practice, my private company that I run, is completely different to that stuff. It's all long term thinking. It's investments. It's how to manage money. And really, what we do for our private clients is we give absolute clarity on the long-term impact of the financial decisions you're making today. That's what we do. And that's what a good financial, it gives you real clarity on where you're going to. But what you do find is that a good financial planner will be able to make sure that the future is totally looked after, but you can totally enjoy today. And it's not to the detriment of today. And that's what a good financial planner will do with your money.
Right, yeah. Because there's all these kind of different policies and things that you can buy to protect yourself in the future. But if they're going to cost you so much now that you can't live, What's the point of that?
Well, the thing about it is when you build if I build out a beautiful financial plan and everything looks rosy and it all looks great, you still do have to cover the back door. You can't have a lovely financial plan that works, that if everyone lives to 100 years of age, everything's going to be rosy and everything's going to be great. And 3 months later, one of the couple comes back in and says, yeah, he's dead. And what happens? So you have to protect the back door. You have to make sure that everything is done right. As a financial planner, I have to make sure that all the eventualities are covered, that if everybody lives, everybody's okay financially. But if somebody gets sick or somebody dies, everybody's still okay financially. Mm. And that's something that is a really difficult balance to get, because you're trying to put money into pensions and savings and investments and everything else, but you also have to allow some budget towards the probability that somebody might actually die or get sick. And I don't, like, I'm, unfortunately for me, I suffer with terrible anxiety around the idea of, imagine if a client came into me in 6 months' time and I had gone through the process with them and we hadn't covered that stuff and something went wrong. And I just, we make sure it's all covered off and it's done right, because if something goes wrong, the last thing I want for a client of mine is that they suffer a financial crisis at the same time as a medical crisis.
Yeah. You hear all these ads though, like on the radio and that, for like, you can get this, that and the other cover for £7 a month. And I've often gone onto various websites and you discover it's actually not £7 a month. It's £200 a month or whatever for various kind of protection and things. Like, it can be costly as well for people.
It depends what you're buying. Like, life covers tend to be quite cheap. Like, you can get reasonable amounts of life cover for small amounts of money, and people are surprised at that. When you start adding things like specified illness cover and income protection and all those things, they do become more expensive. I'm actually just finishing off a book at the moment that I've written. It's coming out in March. We might be back on with you then.
I'm sure you will.
but there's a book coming out in March that I've written. I've just finished it before Christmas, going through the edit process at the moment, and Royal London were good enough to give me numbers on it. The reason why specified illness cover is more expensive is because you're 6 times more likely to claim the specified illness cover than you are the life cover before you retire. So if you have life and specified illness cover, you're 6 times more likely you're going to claim it. So that's the reason why it's more expensive, because it's just a statistics thing. That's all it is. Mm. So it's really important that, look, sometimes we would have situations where we'd have clients, let's say, of 150,000 euros a year, whatever their salary is, and the recommendation comes back that they need to spend 2,500 euros a month on protection policies. Now, that's not realistic, but the thing about it is that doesn't mean you stick your head in the sand and do nothing. You need to do something, and you need to allocate a budget to it and use that budget as best you can. Okay. And what I would say to you is I would have a concern about jumping online and deciding for yourself, and this is not a plug for financial planners worldwide or in the country, I would just say to you, this is a big decision to make. How much cover do I need? And doing that online yourself is a difficult one to calculate. And therefore, I do think you're better with advice. Okay. We are very underinsured here in Ireland. Like, think about it. The average payout is around 100,000 euros. That's the amount of cover that people are taking out. And if you take that 100,000 euros, that would provide your family with around 550 euros a month for 20 years. And at the end of 20 years, all of the money would be gone. Now, think about that for a second. If you're on 50 grand a year and you're 30 years of age and you're planning to work till you're 60, you have 1.5 million of income that you haven't earned yet, and you're going to replace that with 100 grand life cover payout. It just doesn't make any sense. That's why it's really important to get advice. Look, life cover is an absolute waste of money if you don't die. Specified illness cover is an absolute waste of money if you don't get sick. But the results of not having it, I've seen, and someone dying or somebody getting sick. But I've also seen what happens when you have got specified illness cover, and somebody gets sick and they get a payout. And I was actually, for the book, I was looking for something to back this up, because I've seen it anecdotally. People will claim that they have a better recovery when they get the lump sum payout than when they don't. They believe that their recovery went better because they, as I said already, they didn't suffer a financial crisis at the same time.
They didn't have the worry of that as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the next episode of How to Be Good with Money, it's going to be on RTE. What night?
8:30 p.m. on Thursday evening, RTE1, and that will be episode 2, and then there's 6 more to come. So you've got 7 left to go. We've got 1 down, 7 to go, and we've been working on it a long time. Great team involved in it again this year. Great people involved in it. We've got a great mix of people. So we've got singles, we've got couples, we've got a couple of the people who are involved have kind of been struggling with money and trying to get it right, and we've a couple of people who are doing very well with money, like one couple who want to buy a house, one couple who want to put an extension on their house, and then another couple who probably left it a little bit too late to realise that you have to pay for college.
Right.
So we had to make sure that we put them up with some plan to try and fix that, because their daughter is in sixth year now.
Okay, and if there's one top tip that you would give us before you go, Owen, about your finances, what would that be?
Be conscious. Start thinking about how you spend your money. I'm not here to tell you how you should spend it, but you should be deciding for yourself. Are you spending it the way you want to spend it, or are you spending it the way some marketing department is making you spend it?
Okay, no more shoes for me. Thanks, Owen. We'll chat to you again when you're back on plugging the book, no doubt.
Absolutely.
There's Owen McGee from How to Be Good with Money on RTE. It is something for the weekend on Classic Hits.